I kept up with the exposition, and we talked about this epistle to the Hebrews, and that it was written to a Jewish church that had suffered in many afflictions. Those afflictions had and were separating the true believers from the false believers in the church. And I preached all this that you see up here on the screen concerning it. And I continued in Hebrews 12, 6 through 8, Hebrews 3, 12, Hebrews 2, 13 through 15, went over in John 8, 29 to 33, 36, 37, 38, and talked at length about people who, after they're saved, are still in bondage, and people who sometimes make professions of faith, go back under the law and go back under bondage and begin to lose, they believe they can lose their salvation. And I preached a message on it, on Hebrews 4 and 1, and talked about all these things you see underlined in blue and red, which is probably on the first part of this tape that Bob has just put in on the backside. We went through all this. I'll not bore you again with the same message, but I then came up to, how can you know you're saved? I went through all this, where you see underlined in blue, and we completed all that. And I thought I'd just kind of show you what I had preached up to this point before I began on tonight's message, which is a continuation in Hebrews of the exposition of it. Titled, Coming Short of a Saving Faith. What does that really mean? Some have emotional experiences that come short of a saving faith in Christ. And one of the problems I've always had with camp, and young men and women have a lot of trouble with this. We live in a very hyper-emotional world. And I don't know how many of the people that I've had to rebaptize that were saved supposedly at camp before I came here. And I've had to rebaptize some of my own children because of this type of experience. Some have emotional experiences that come short of a saving faith in Christ. And that's the reason I spent so much time examining you, Paul McGuire. Lord, I like to never make up my mind. Not that I'm the one who decides whether you're saved or not, but it just baffled me. There are a lot of people have an emotional experience, and for all their life they acquaint it with salvation. Some have emotional experiences that come short of a saving faith in Christ. Their experience is the thing they put their faith in, not in Christ's ability to save and to keep them by his power. They'll give you a profession of faith, and they'll tell you how they felt, and they'll tell you how it just, the whole world just exploded, and boy, there's no doubt about it. And they always go back and relate to the emotions that they felt at that time. Well, I had an emotion when I got saved. It was an emotion of relief. And the book of Hebrews tells us why that is the proper emotion and emotion to have when you're saved. The problem with people that come short of a saving faith, that have an emotional experience, their experience is not mixed with faith in Christ. You're going to see why I'm saying that when we get into Hebrews in just a few minutes. Their experience is not mixed with faith in Christ, because their faith is not in his ability to save and keep them. That's a faith that comes short of a saving faith. A person who is saved does enter into the security of God's rest, because he or she comes to recognize that God planned for all to be secure in Christ and finish the work before he laid the foundation of the world. God made the heavens and the earth. When it was finished, when it was completed, it was over. God had done it. Nothing else was required. And God rested. That's the kind of rest that you say, that's completed. I'll never forget one day, I had an Air Force captain and an Army major riding in the back of a Jeep. We were driving up toward Quinyon, and we had gone back into the interior of Tukor. And we got off this side road heading up toward Quinyon. There were some Fifth Special Forces units back in there. And all of a sudden we came into this village, and the bad guys started coming out from all over. There was no way out. The road behind us was closed. I was driving that Jeep, and I was scared to death. And we were goners. There was one trail that went up that mountain, and erosion had worn off both sides. I don't know why that comes to mind. There was no way under heaven I could get up that thing, because I had to keep the wheels on solid ground, and deep ravines were on both deep indentures were in the road. No way under heaven I could make it. I started praying, gunned that engine, and took off. I had no choice. I just trusted God. To this day, I know there's no way under heaven I could have gotten up that thing. And I gunned that thing and headed up it, and they couldn't hit us. There was nothing but mud flying behind me. They couldn't see us for the mud. And finally, we got up over that thing and came down in a little valley and went lickety-split and got away. And this Army major, he said, "Good driving, Sergeant." I said, "Do it every day." But I was finished. The work was finished. I had completed it. It was behind me. It was over. And I didn't plan to go back and do it over again, because it was right the first time, and God brought me through it. It was a finished work. Thank God I never had to do it again. God laid the foundation of the world. Now, salvation has an awful lot to do with finished work. If your salvation was dependent on you, it's not finished. It's not complete. You can never have any rest in it. God laid the foundation of the world. He finished all his work and rested on the seventh day when all the work was finished. Jesus laid the foundation of salvation. He finished all his work, left nothing else that needed to be done to assure you of a complete, finished salvation. And he now rests in heaven, awaiting the gathering of his saints. If you're saved, you can understand this. You can accept it. You can rejoice in it. You can be thankful for it. But if you're lost, and I'm trying to show you something about securing the believer, you don't have the foggiest idea what I'm talking about. All believers sit at spiritual rest in him in heaven, and nothing can separate them from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Why? It is a finished work. Jesus did it. He did it all. There is nothing left to do. Now, talking about people that get saved on an emotional experience and seem to come short, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. "Let us therefore fear." Now remember, he's writing back to a church full of Hebrews. And he strongly suspects that a lot of them in that church aren't saved. That they had some sort of an experience, but not an experience of salvation. And they're trying to go back under the law. Well, what is going back under the law? It's very simple. You tell me you're saved, and you know Christ is your Savior, but in the next breath you tell me that if you run into a tree with unconfessed sin, you go to hell. It's very plain. You've gone back under the law. You're believing that if you tell a falsehood before you die, and you don't confess it and aren't forgiven, that you're going to hell. You've gone back under the law to keep your salvation. You think if you commit adultery, you're going to hell. You've gone back under the law. And he was writing this letter to the church of Hebrews to tell them, that's not true. If you had an emotional experience and you think that's salvation, I can teach you about security of the believer until you're blue in the face, but you never will completely understand it. And eventually, you'll get mad about it. Romans 4, 2 through 7. Now, God finished the work completely. He made Abraham a promise. And Abraham believed the promise. And God made him righteous. And Abraham became a receiver of the finished work that Christ, the seed, would one day do on the cross. He didn't understand all that, but he believed God. It wasn't an emotional experience. It was a straightforward experience where God told him something and he believed it. For if Abraham were justified by works, if he had to continue to complete it after God gave him his righteousness, for if Abraham were justified by works, he had whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Well, what is this rest that we have? What is this security? What is this certainty? Very plain. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace. You came short of it. If you think that after you get saved, you have to keep working to retain it, my friend, any of you should seem to come short of it. And a lot of people come short of it. If you can't teach a saved man or a saved woman to secure the believer, there's an awful good chance that they've come short of putting their faith in what Jesus did. And they're still holding on to a faith in themselves. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. It's like God owes it to you. You didn't lie. You didn't cheat. You didn't steal. You didn't commit adultery. You went to church 3 times a week. You observed the Lord's Supper, and you just kept right on working. And in your mind, you thought, well, that's going to keep me saved. You're wasting your time. You ought to come to church. You ought to try to do what God wants. You ought to confess your sins when you fail. And you ought to be faithful because you love God. And you don't have any love for God if you keep thinking that God's going to throw you into hell because you don't have any faith in Him. And you don't have any faith in His Son. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. God justified this ungodly man. His faith is counted for righteousness. It's the only righteousness I have. Now that's a saving faith. Lest a promise being left of entering to his rest, any of you should seem to fall short of it. You see, my salvation is mixed with faith because I believe the word, and I believe that God saved me because I believe his promise and I believe his word, not because of some emotional experience I've had. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works. I'm either saved by God's imputed righteousness or I'm lost and headed for hell because it's without works. And I'm blessed and I'm secure. And my faith is a complete rest because I know that Jesus finished the work. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, plural, and whose sins, plural, are covered. There is no sin that I can ever commit, no iniquity that I can ever partake in, that would ever reverse God's promise. And my salvation is in the fact that he completed the work, and Christ is resting in heaven today, and I'm in him and he's in me. That makes it a pleasure to serve him. That makes it a pleasure to preach the gospel. That makes it a pleasure to do what I'm doing now. That's why I enjoy this so much. I enjoy it because I love him and I care for him because of what he's done for me. If God had not saved me completely by grace, if I thought that I had something to add or contribute to God's master plan or master work, if I thought that I was in any way a profitable servant, I would be absolutely miserable. But I rest totally and completely in the work that Jesus finished. Just as God finished his work, when it was over, it was done, it was finished. Hebrews 4:3. For we which have believed do enter into rest. Doesn't say might enter into rest, could enter into rest, chance of it. It says they do enter into rest. So does it, if it seems strange to you that I'm standing up here telling you all this, that I can't lose my salvation, that I do have that rest, that I do have that certainty, that ought to tell you I'm saved. Because I have entered into that rest. I don't have a second thought about hell or God's condemnation. I have complete rest that I'm going to heaven, period, no exception. The only thing I'm concerned about is just what kind of works am I performing? They're not required to go to heaven, but they certainly do count for rewards. Otherwise, he would never have said, be not deceived. Be not mocked. Be not mocked. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. God, before the foundation of the world, knew that Adam would sin. But he had to go ahead and let him be born and let him and create him and make him, because God wanted him to have a choice. The fact that God knew the choice he would make, the fact that God knows the choice that you all would make, is secondary to the point of God's doing this. He wanted to gather together a people that loved him. And they had to come to him through his son by choice. The works were finished from the foundation of the world. So what did God do? God chose to save all those who would come to him through his son, Jesus Christ, by choice. And God chose to condemn all those who would not come to his son and would not make the choice that God made available. Thank God, by his grace, I chose Christ, repenting of my sins and acknowledging I'm totally dependent upon his power to keep me and to have saved me. Ephesians 1, 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I'm in Christ. I'm in heaven right now in him. I have a spiritual union with God through him. And Christ is living in me. And God works in me daily both to will and to do of his good pleasure. But I still have a choice as to whether or not I want to yield to his spirit, whether or not I want to preach the gospel, whether or not I want to pastor this church, whether or not I want to serve him in this church. I can do anything I want. Still go to heaven. But you see, when you finally begin to figure out that the only reason you're going to heaven is because of what Jesus did, and you realize that there's nothing about you that's good except Jesus, and you recognize you owe him everything and he owes you nothing, and yet he loves you. When you come to realize that in his word, it makes serving him a joy, a pleasure, an exciting experience. Imogene and April are always laughing at me because I run around these short pants over at the house. I'm an old fuddy-duddy, and just, you know, there goes crazy old dad. But crazy old dad has a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that ever happened to crazy old dad. And I love every minute of it. Sometimes people think, I guess, because I have so much levity and I seem to be so laid back in worshiping God, you may consider that to be a fault. Well, I can accept that. But I just love life. I just love telling people about Jesus, using the Word of God to show how magnificent and wonderful he is. I have never been able to even scratch the surface of the amazing character and personality of Almighty God that came to this earth in Jesus Christ. And I've never enjoyed anything in my life like I have serving him. Don, this morning, I was kidding Don, and he said, I like to be a weatherman. Well, I enjoyed being a meteorologist. I enjoyed the things I did when I was young. I enjoyed going to school once in a while. But man, what I'm doing is sheer pleasure now. Just sheer, absolute pleasure. Sure, I run around all the time and don't get half the stuff done. Sometimes I don't get the tapes and the envelopes to you. But I'm having the time of my life. And I love just being one of you. Because I've come to understand He's just a marvelous, wonderful person and a joy to serve. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world, God chose to save all men, all women, who would come to him through his Son and the belief that the Messiah, the seed, would save them, and that was their only hope. Before the foundation of the world. Why did he do it? That we should be holy, a guy so set apart without blame before him in love. God set me apart. There is nothing that can be laid against my account in blame that will send me to hell. Will I be judged for not living a set apart life? Yes. Will I be judged for having blame at the judgment seat of Christ? Yes. But praise God, I'll be there. And though I may not receive much of a reward, thank God that he set me apart, and thank God that he has nothing to lay to my account. He will not impute sin to me that will send me to hell. If you can't work for him, you can't work for anybody. Having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself. Predestined means that God, before the foundation of the world, determined that he was going to reconcile man back to himself after Adam sinned and passed on that sinful nature, the Adamic nature, to all of us. God determined that he would make an adoption of anyone as his child who put their faith either in the Messiah, the seed who was to come, the seed who came and was here, and the seed who has gone and sits in heaven today in heavenly places, and the seed who is coming again. And he did it all according to the good pleasure of his will. But it was all by choice. Man has a choice. God gives him a choice. We make a lot of wrong choices. If you're saved, you sure didn't make the wrong choice. If you're not serving God in his church, you've made the wrong choice. You've made the wrong choice. If you're not committed to being faithful in God's church, you're making the wrong choice. A lot of people make the right choice about salvation, but they make the wrong choice about what the purpose of their life is. To the praise and the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. He did it all by himself. He made us accepted in the beloved. That's rest. Jesus finished the work before the foundation of the world, in whom we have redemption, a present, active, indicative. I don't have to worry about whether or not I have redemption. I have redemption through my works, through his blood. What else do I have? The forgiveness of sins, plural, according to the riches of his grace. A lot of people have an emotional experience. A lot of churches are full of them. Most of the churches in this town believe you can lose your salvation. People sit there and they say, well, I'm saved, but I do backslide. They have redemption one day. They don't have it the next week. They have forgiveness of sins one day, but the next day, they've lost it. They've backslid. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's an infamy against God. It's a disgrace. It's a spiritual monstrosity, and it's a lie. This was all bought and paid for, and it's a finished, completed work. Hebrews 4:4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. He finished it. It was over. So, that's it. He finished everything. There was nothing else left for him to do. It was finished. Man couldn't add to it, take away from it. You can't create new matter. You just have to work with what's already here. Genesis 2, 1 and 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, set it apart, because that in it he has rested from all his work that God created and made. It's finished. There it is. You can see it outside. You can see the universe. It's expanding, but it's not adding any matter. It's just utilizing, reforming, reshaping as it expands. The work's finished. John 17:1-4. These words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour's come. glorify thy Son, and thy Son also may glorify thee. As thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus said, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He didn't say, well, there's quite a bit more for man to do. A lot of work's going to be required on man's part. What about all those people that were already dead? What about all those people that were dead? Did he take their works and add it to the cross? Was it necessary for Abraham to have come up to a certain standard of works in order for the blood to justify him? He said, I finished the work which thou gavest me to do. He did enough to save Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Noah. Their lives were already finished. They couldn't add anything to it. Well, if they didn't have to add anything to it, why in heaven's name do we have to add anything to it? Brothers and sisters in Christ, God finished the earth. It was done. Jesus finished the work which God gave him to do and repeated it vehemently on the cross. In John 19:30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It's over. And he bowed his head and gave him the ghost. For I determined not to know anything among you, 1 Corinthians 2:2, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Then he tells you why in verse 5, 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. My salvation is not based on an emotional experience I had 58 years ago. Was there emotion? Yes. I was scared to death of hell. Was there emotion? Yes. I knew I was a sinner. I repented of it. I was sorry of it. Was there emotion? I went to Jesus seeking salvation. You think I just sat there like a bump on a log? You think there wasn't something stirring inside me? You think this was a mechanical thing that just happened? Well, step one, step two, step three. No! There was emotion. But the emotion was I had to be saved and I couldn't do it myself. I was helpless. And I went to Jesus and I asked him to save me. And what he did on the cross was a finished work. And he saved me. Now, do I have to go back and repeat all that emotional experience every time I think, well, I wonder if I was truly saved. Was I really sincere? Did I really say the right thing? Did I really repent of my sins? Did I do it this way or do it that way? Or was this wrong or was that right? That's almost like salvation by works. My faith right now as I stand here at age 70 certainly does not stand in the wisdom of men. It does not stand in my own works. But it stands in the power of God. That's a fact. It stands in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you can say that and know it, if you can believe it, then you know Christ as your Savior. To be perfectly honest, for a saved person, it's a whole lot easier to believe in security of the believer than when it was when you came to be saved to Christ. Secure the believer is something that God's Spirit teaches you straight out of the Word. But you have to have the Spirit of Christ in you before you receive it. As the lights are turned on, as the sound system's turned off,